Welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a weekly show where two old guys talk about old games. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and I feel I've been pretty reserved during this podcast.
Really?
So, yeah, I think it's time that I really just tell something personal about myself. Really,
for talk once,
about, just dig deep and talk about some stuff that's going to make my wife just like roll her eyes and get a little angry, a little frustrated that I talk about it. It's not about her.
Is that why she's going to be frustrated?
She's like, why would you? She saw my notes and she was like, you really have to talk about this? Do you really have to tell those stories? I was like, yeah, I think I do.
Okay, lay it on us.
So let's preface it first by saying, like, I was very awkward in middle school. Like, very, very awkward. Mom still bought all my clothes. Like, I had a complete corduroy suit I wore to school at least 2 days a
week. Right.
Like, ridiculous. And she also did my hair. So every year I would change it to something equally as ridiculous. Like my sixth grade year, I had like a Conan O'Brien thing going on.
Yeah.
Middle school was parted in the middle, like not like the double Conan O'Brien, like two swoops on both sides.
Nice.
And then, yeah, eighth grade year, I remember
like a late 1800s bartender.
Yes. It looked like handlebar mustache, yeah, only on my head.
It was
ridiculous. Like, you posted the Pimpliest Jedi. Like, if I posted those pictures, they're bad.
I think you should.
Okay, so in middle school, chubby, short, weird hair, corduroy suit.
A real winner.
Yeah. Wasn't getting much vagina. So I'm taking anything that's being thrown at me at that point. I mean, in middle school, it's like, who's getting a lot of vagina in middle school? A lot of kids I knew were getting vagina in middle school. Not none of my friends, but I heard about it. I'd heard about this. So the first time I got to do it, as awkward as my performance, is awkward as my dress. Let's put it like that.
You were wearing a dress.
It was as my method of dress.
Wait, so the first time you were wearing a dress, I think we should end the show.
I was like, Uncle Steve, I don't feel good about this.
Now I understand why Meg was like, I don't think you should.
You know what?
Save this one for therapy, Tyler.
So it was, I was doted upon by a very, let's just call her fat.
Okay.
Like,
all right.
Like, no one else is throwing it at me. Sure. All right. Bring it on, girl who outweighs me 3-1. And I was chubby. So, like, I awkwardly fumbled around, poked at her vagina, heard somebody coming. I mean, no, and no
wait,
one.
Wait.
Well,
already?
I was in a semi-public place.
Where were
at the
you?
Time. I was at church.
Nice.
So, like, I'm down there fiddling around. I thought I hear somebody open the door. No one had good grooming habits back then.
Wait.
So, yeah, she had a lot of pubic hair. Oh, yeah, so, okay. I hear somebody coming. I jerk my hand out and I rip out a handful.
God.
Yeah. That's only half the story. Eventually, like, no one's coming. Things proceed.
Well, you're new. I mean,
yeah. I'm on my way home, and I'm just like, this smells funny. Did I do it right? So I asked the next day. I called her and asked her, like, did I put it in her butt? Oh, that's something you don't want to say, girl. If you touch their vagina, ask them, was that your butt?
Right.
So,
life lessons learned.
Yep. That's my weird dig deep story. The first time I touched a vagina.
What did she answer?
Fuck you.
Man, I think I need to start going first because mine are really tame. I am Dave, your bespectacled host. And now I'm trying to come up with something even lamer than this.
I own plaid socks.
There are guy a lot. When I was a kid, man, I desperately wanted to be on Supermarket Sweep. I fucking love that game show. Sometimes I do marathons, I think, on Lifetime when I was a kid, and I would watch them obsessively and take notes on who is doing the best job and what their technique was. Where it's like, if there was someone in the game show who didn't immediately go to diapers, game over.
Okay.
So maybe one day the show will come back.
Maybe one day.
The producers at Lifetime will, of course, listen to our show. I mean, naturally. And what they're going to do is, the next time they want to revive Supermarket Sweep, they'll be like, hey, you know that guy who pulled out a bunch of his girlfriend's pubic hairs and the guy who owns Argyle Socks? We should have him host the show.
Wasn't my girlfriend, by the way. Let's not cross that line. All right. Let's not. I'll figure being a fat girl, but I'm damn it if I'm going to date one. All right, games, we do those.
So, yeah, what we do here on this show, Tyler, is we play our way through IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo games. Does that sound about right?
Mm-hmm, about right.
And then we muse about our experiences on this very show. This week, we are talking about IGN's 76th ranked Super Nintendo game, Soul Blazer.
Mm. But first, let's lay out some of the things. So Immature Gaming Month for you.
Yep, I'm still doing Immature Gaming Month.
What did you play this week?
Last week was Deadpool, of course. This week, I'm playing Lollipop Chainsaw, which thanks to Matt Barger, who sent that in to us to play. I've been enjoying it more than I thought I would. Yeah. I have to be honest with you. I do like me some zombies, and I do like the sexual objectification of women.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Which it's ripe with.
Okay, yeah. Wait, it's not empowerment? It's not empowering to women to have a disproportionate girl running around in a cheerleader outfit?
It's empowering to about the extent that Sucker Punch was empowering to women, I think.
Okay.
And actually, the eroticism isn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be from the reviews that I've read, because I read some really scathing reviews in the game and how it's overly sexualized and all that, which it is, but it's done in a very campy manner.
Yeah, like horror, kind of.
Yeah, it's done like...
Nothing you could probably jerk off to. Nothing like middle school boys are like...
Yeah, they probably are.
We just come back from church, it's time to play some Lollipop Chainsaw.
It'll be get rid of these pubes first. Yeah, I mean, they could probably jerk off to it, but it's an interesting game because it's done by Suda51 and James Gunn, the filmmaker. Mm. So, it's been fun. Not something I would super recommend, but... If you like watching a cheerleader chop zombies' heads off with a chainsaw, then check it out.
Hmm, okay.
What about you? What have you been playing?
Meg's best friend is in town, and the last time she came to visit, she watched me play 8 hours of Arkham Asylum. So she came over to visit, and I was like, all right, well, how about I play a little Arkham City? I bought Arkham City the day it came out. Like, yesterday was the first day I put it in my PlayStation.
Oh, you hadn't played it?
I have not played it.
Oh, man.
So...
What do you think?
I've seen a lot of it played.
Yeah.
So outside of half the main storyline, I mean, I know half of the main storyline.
Okay.
So the extent of which I played it, I was just, you know, actually getting used to playing it again.
Right.
So it's not high on my priority list. It should be, because I know everybody loves it.
Yeah.
But I'll play it while Meg's friend Hillary's in town. I think we've thanked her before for liking a lot of stuff that we do.
Yeah.
Whenever she leaves, I'll probably shelve it for a little while.
Okay.
Unless I really get into it in the meantime.
I liked it a lot. I think you'll like it too, but, you know, everyone has different priorities.
Yeah. Finished another audiobook this week.
Yeah.
I finished Prince of Thorns by Mark Lawrence, which I enjoyed. The pacing was a bit strange, but it's a clearly evil teenager who's a prince who's deciding he's going to take over and how he's going to do it. It's a very tortured story of a kid who had a traumatic experience as a kid and grew up into a fucked up person. But he's a tactical genius.
This is one of the Lawrence brothers who wrote this?
Yes.
Okay. Joey's younger or older brother? Joey's the oldest, right? Okay.
Well, we'll probably have to watch some Brotherly Love.
Right.
And understand. It's about damn time. Right? Somebody made a Brotherly Love reference on Dadbog.
It takes 31 episodes to get a Brotherly Love reference.
God, I had such a crush on Lou.
I did not know where you were going with that.
Lou being the girl. It sounds like a bad movie.
Lou Grant. Mary Tyler such Moore a show.
Lou Grant. All right, also, it was my birthday.
Happy birthday.
I turned 29. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Tyler.
So for my birthday, I ordered a 3DS from Amazon, a 3DS XL. It'll be in sometime next week. So ordered ordered that. Professor Layton. Got to get the next Professor Layton.
Can you get your fix?
Yep. Got to do it. Castlevania, Mirror of Fate, just the next handheld Castlevania. Ramon had good things to say about it.
Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with that, right?
Yep. And then Meg is nuts about it. I got Animal Crossing, New Leaf, which I'm looking forward to playing. Mostly she'll probably play that for a while. And then Virtue's Last Reward, which is the sequel to 999, which was a big reason I wanted a 3DS.
Awesome. I really want one too. And since you've mentioned you're getting one and you're going to be getting Animal Crossing, I may do the same because I've been on the fence for a while. It's been on my Amazon wish list for a long
time. Get ready for Tadpog talking about farming and picking leaves and fishing.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Let's get into Soul Blazer.
Would you like to hear a little segment we like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia?
I would. I've got it ready. So hard.
Soul Blazer, Tyler, is known in Japan as Soul Blader.
Soul Blader.
It's a Super Nintendo Entertainment System action role-playing game developed by Quintet and published by Enix. You may have heard of Enix.
Mm.
It was released in 1992 in Japan and later the same year in North America. It came out in Europe, oddly, 2 years later. So I don't know what the holdup was there. Similar to Quintet's previous game, ActRaiser, the player takes the role of a divine angel, Tyler. Mm-hmm. A divine angel.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a deity, a lesser deity, or an avatar. We really don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
This being is sent by a divinity called the Master to destroy monsters and release the captured souls of the world's inhabitants.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All very accurate. As I played through the game, I experienced all of that.
As did I. The checklist.
So
everything checked off.
Spoilers later in the game, or later in the podcast, I had a really great time playing Soul Blazer.
I did too.
I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it.
I did too. I think this is one that honestly we could talk about for a long time because I liked a lot about this game.
I was a big fan of Illusion of Gaia. So the minute I turned this on, it had a lot of the same sound effects and text as Illusion of Gaia. So I was sucked in. There was no, I didn't have my hour of getting into it time. Like, yeah. I immediately enjoyed it right off the bat. No problem. Slid right into it.
Yeah, I did too.
Because silent protagonist.
Yeah.
Along with Chrono, Gordon Freeman.
Yeah, that's a pretty common trope in the JRPG, I think. Cloud, Chrono.
Because you start off in a shrine and the master, basically God, sends you out. You travel around through different shrines all throughout the six worlds you go to.
Yeah. Yeah, there's six different villages in the Empire, the Frail Empire.
Mm-hmm. Each one being very different. I enjoyed the variety.
Right.
Each world was, the theme was very different.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get into what was repetitive about it in a little bit, but each world was very different. And you travel around. God throws you around from shrine to shrine whenever you're
Tyler,
done.
The Maker.
Yeah, the Maker.
Come on. Soul Blader is my second favorite book of the Bible, followed by Icarus, but still, it's... we gotta.
And ActRaiser.
ActRaiser's third favorite book of the Bible.
I'd been told, like, somebody was like, yeah, ActRaiser is based on the book of Acts. And I told Meg that, and she's like...
oh, yeah.
What's it about? No, that has nothing to do with Acts whatsoever.
I had heard that as well, but I've never read Acts, so...
I read it in fifth grade. That's another story. That's a whole different... I won't get into that. That's too much of a tangent.
Step one, read Acts. Step two, rip pubic hairs out of a girl. All in a day's work.
But then the shrine has certain... it's a shrine in four directions, and each one direction being where you talk to the master and he saves your progress.
Right.
And the other three prongs being teleporters. Different places. Yeah, teleports. Like one will go to the village square where you restore everything, and then the other two being two points in the dungeons that you go through.
You mentioned restore, and that's something that's really unique to this game, I think, as opposed to other JRPGs or JRPG franchises, is that your goal, essentially, is to rebuild the world. And in order to do that, you have to defeat monsters. Or monsters, as Josh
as Josh Nance is banned from saying, because he lost that bet with me.
But that part, actually, and I've got this in my notes, this game reminded me of two recent games that I've played. Bastion.
Yeah, it's very Bastion-like.
Because in Bastion, you play as a hero, a silent protagonist who rebuilds a structure called Bastion after an apocalyptic calamity. And it's also an action RPG. So I thought that was really interesting how similar these games were. And Cave Story is the second game because of the insane conversations you have with NPCs.
Yeah.
Because all the NPCs, not only are you talking to humans, but you're talking to dolphins and goats.
Trees.
And dogs and tulips. So it's very weird in that kind of like Cave Story fashion where you're just going up and talking to a frog.
Yeah,
and
he's just there. You can probably talk to it. Doors.
Just, yeah,
doors. Drawers.
And he's just telling you how it is. A side tangent here. I'd like to say that in Western Kentucky, which where we record, it's not chest of drawers. If you want to find a chest of drawers on Craigslist, what you have to type in is Chester drawers. Chester, like the cheetah, drawers.
That is what I grew up thinking it was. Chester drawers. Chester jars. Like, I thought Florida was spelled with an A because my mom says Florida.
Florida. Okay.
A washcloth. You wash with that. Yeah, you wash naturally. With that in the Shire. So whenever, like, we used to hang out after high school, my friend Ashley Shake, he had his house was close, so we'd walk over there and hang out after school. And we sort of redid his garage as a hangout. And we were all in Lord of the Rings at the moment, so we called it the Shire. Then at school, when we'd say, where are you guys going later? Oh, we're going to the Shire. You guys are all going to take a Shire together? Man, you guys are gay. It's like, no, we're not gay, fellow. We are going to the Shire, named after the play The Home of Hobbits. So they said, yeah, because immediately, whenever the master sort of throws you down to earth, you're just in a field.
Right. It's empty. You see, like, where structures would have been, but they're not there.
And there's one entrance into a cave, and as soon as you enter the cave, there are monsters. Mm-hmm. And they all generate out of these little tiles in the floor that constantly spawns all these enemies after you kill five or six. Because you wield a sword, and you do get magic. You have a little soul that floats around you. You gather souls throughout the game for different spells and effects.
Which, can I say, that is a little weird. That magician, because the thing that flies around you, essentially, the very beginning of the game, you go to this little room, you fight a monster, and a wizard is there. And he's like, thanks for helping me. I'm going to come with you. And he turns in this little ball of energy that just circles around you for the entirety of the game. And whenever you cast a spell, the wizard is actually casting the spell, so it comes out of this orb. What I think is interesting is they don't mention that wizard ever again.
Nope.
Ever again. They don't thank him for his sacrifice or anything. Like, even, like, at the very end of the game, he's just completely forgotten. Thanks, nameless wizard.
Collecting souls in itself is kind of weird.
Because you don't say?
Another soul is, like, some kind of inanimate object that says, okay, I'll come along with you, and then joins you. And then another person who sacrifices himself and joins you. The most ridiculous one.
Yeah.
Because I made note of this because I thought it was, are you serious? Because basically each one gives you, the first one being the most important one. The second one gives you the ability to walk on lava. And the one after that gives you the ability not to breathe underwater, but to move underwater. Something like that. It's always functional to the level at which you require them.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Which one's the most ridiculous?
There's one that is, you go to a house for one level, which is my favorite level.
Dr. Leo's?
Yes, yeah. Dr. Leo's house. And he has, like, Beetlejuice-style model towns.
God, I've got that in my notes.
And you go up to one, you get sucked in.
Yeah.
And there are invisible enemies.
Yeah.
So when you leave and you go and talk to a door and the door is like, hey, I'm going to come with you. I'm the soul that lets you see invisible things inside tiny towns. It's like, that's very specific that this is what you do and I'm never going to use you ever again.
I was mad, man, because I had taken the time to find all the invisible enemies because when the enemies come out of these tiles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is when once it's spit out all the enemies it's going to spit out, it's done. Mm-hmm. You just walk over that tile to close it. And when you close it, usually something will happen in the town. Something good will happen. Like the building will restructure itself.
Yeah, you've released a maid. And then her house that she operates is then back in the world.
So the whole game revolves around you walking over these tiles. But before I had spoken to that door who gives you help, whenever I see one of those tiles, I just want to immediately destroy all the monsters and step on that motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
So when I realized that there were enemies that I couldn't see, I just spammed magic until I killed them all and then I'd walk over the tile. Which, by the way, when you walk over a tile, I swear, man, I need to do a side-by-side audio comparison because when you step on a tile, to me, it sounds exactly like the achievement notification on Xbox Live. Because the first time I walked over one, I had this really weird moment where it was like, wait, what? What just happened? Like, instinctively, I looked on the screen for the achievement to pop up. It was like one of Pavlov's dogs. And nothing happened. And I was like, what? Oh, yeah, that's right. This is a Super Nintendo.
Okay, you also have equipment because you get your sword, armor, magic spell, and then just an item, a miscellaneous item that you have.
Those are the big four that you're collecting.
Yep. And the first town being a village, just a standard kind of fantasy village. You go through an underground cave, destroying things, releasing villagers. You hear about, you keep hearing about the chief. You need to release the chief. Who right. You have to beat, like, one of the bosses.
Right. That's a common theme in each village. When you beat the boss of that dungeon, the leader of that city is freed.
The leader usually has a stone.
Right.
You're supposed to collect the 6 stones so you can unlock the door to the world of evil mm-hmm. and go beat the person who has enslaved all these people.
Death toll.
Death toll.
Yeah, I know. That death toll is the person who's the spirit who's wrought.
It's 1993.
Oh, that was hard. That was hard to deal with. Death toll.
I like death toll better than Final Fantasy V's Death X.
Yeah.
It's like that. I think Death X. All right, Tadpog listeners, go ahead, send us. Call and tell us, or put it on Facebook, or comment on tadpog.com by the show notes, what you think the worst villain name is.
That is a good question.
So I'd be here to see what, the worst, not like who you think the worst villain is.
In a video game specifically.
Yes, in a video game. Like the worst name, or I guess fiction. We might get a lot of Death X looks pretty bad, but.
Let's limit it to video games.
Video games, all right.
I mean, it is a video game podcast.
It is a video game podcast, true. I just really like books.
I know. We can do that one on Facebook.
Okay, that's fair. And then you meet, because you keep hearing about Dr. Leo. Dr. Leo's from this village. Dr. Leo has sort of, he is the scientist that, he was the middleman between
the king.
The king who did this mm-hmm. and then Death Toll.
The king
Dr. Leo made it possible.
He made machines.
He made machines mm-hmm. capable of evil.
Yes.
I'm not sure what these machines were. Mm-hmm. You don't really ever see one. You just hear about these machines of evil. That allowed the king of the whole land to make a pact with Death Toll from the world of evil.
Right.
To me, that's a red flag.
Right.
He's like, where are you from? World of evil? Yeah, let's make a bargain.
Well, the king wanted a gold piece for every soul. So, and by the way, did I miss something in the game? Because in the end, the king turns out to be a pretty nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
What? How did that happen?
I guess after he was collected, then he kind of realized.
Death Toll imprisoned him.
His wife dies
right.
because of him, and then he's collected.
Spoilers. His wife dies because Dr. Leo suicide bombs her, which I got to say, this game surprised me because when I was playing and that happened, after you free him, they're about to take Dr. Leo to prison, the queen is, mm-hmm. and he just runs at her and explodes. I just was like, what? What just happened?
That's the thing I've heard about Quintet Games is like, they're all pretty dark and bittersweet. Like, that's their thing. They don't do traditional, like, good endings or good things that happen. Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to say, their thing is jihad. Quintet.
Quintet.
Buy their games, support terrorism.
The name of Islamic Holy Wars. Then in the first world, you meet Dr. Leo's daughter.
Lisa.
Lisa, you get the dream rod that allows you to go into people's dreams mm-hmm. and you see what's going on in their heads. You meet Lisa in the dream world, so then she trusts you and she tells you about this evil painting you go into that Dr. Leo painted and it was corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
So you go inside the painting and that's where you go through the level. You find these metal enemies that you cannot damage at all.
Right.
So there are tiles you can't clear, which... It's like, oh,
yeah, that bugs really me. Yeah, that got bugs under me. My skin.
So mm-hmm. You have to come back much, much later in the game.
With a sword that can defeat heavily armored mm-hmm. enemies.
Because I think over the course of the game, there are 8 different swords, 8 different sets of armor, mm-hmm. 8 different spells, and a shit ton of items.
I didn't get all the spells.
I got all the spells, but...
I think I missed one.
One as a backtrack spell. Like you have to go back and get it.
Because I had to go back and get Tornado and Fire Column, but there's...
Fire Column was the one that I had to backtrack and get. That was the last one.
But there's one that I missed, and I don't know what it is. Mm. But anyway, we were in the painting.
Yeah, you're in the painting, you bypass the metal enemies, and then you get up to the boss, which is like this weird metal claw demon.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time you have to use a special sword technique where you just hold your sword out in front of you.
Right.
Because normally you swing, and he's got a pretty broad... You can hit enemies good range almost all the way around.
Oh, yeah. Like, I was playing this and thinking, Link ain't got shit on Nameless Hero because Nameless Hero is clearly using a long sword,
mm-hmm.
where Link is clearly using a short sword.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, true. maybe even a bastard sword. It's pretty...
Could be.
He's got that fucker two-handed.
Yeah, he could be using a bastard sword.
Jon Snow's hand and a half. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
He's swinging it. Mm. Slashing damage, not piercing damage.
Mm-hmm. But then, like, you hold down L and you just hold it straight in front of you, mm-hmm. So you get a lot more maneuverability. You can just crab move walk. In and out very quickly. The crab walk.
That's the villager who teaches you, calls it the crab walk.
But you have to use that to get on and off the conveyor belts, because mm-hmm. there are conveyor belts moving you toward and away from the boss. So you have to do that to get in and out quickly, because mm-hmm. The slash is too slow. Once you clear that, you clear all the villagers, they're very thankful that you free the chief, who gives you the first stone.
Right.
And then you go to a forest.
Mm-hmm.
And the forest is
wood
where...
Wood forest.
Or was it green something? Greenwood?
Is it Greenwood Forest?
It's something like that. But then...
Now, who was responsible for Greenwood Forest, Tyler? Let me ask you that.
Turbo the dog.
Whose dog was he?
It's Dr. Leo's dog.
Dr. Leo's dog. Got his own forest. Working out pretty good for Turbo.
Because Dr. Leo, his friends were like a dog, a dolphin, a doll.
There's Lisa, Turbo the dog, Lou the dolphin,
Marie the doll.
Marie the doll, and Dr. Leo himself.
Yeah, I guess he had three friends.
No, there would have been another. Shit. The snail. Gnome the snail.
You're right. Okay. But yeah, then the forest. This is where it gets a little repetitive, because all you do is go from setting to setting.
Right.
Clearing enemies on the red tiles.
It's very similar. Yeah.
Story is very minimal.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just kind of... But it's entertaining. It's fun. I guess the same way Tetris is repetitive, because you're just organizing blocks.
Well, the enemies are so varied and the environments are so varied that it doesn't feel like you're doing the same thing mm-hmm. over and over again. And even when you go back to dungeons... to backtrack to get spells and better equipment and that kind of thing. It felt to me like it didn't suffer from Zelda syndrome, which I have a big problem with Zelda games, because I hate going through the same dungeon multiple times.
Mm.
Like, that just really irks me. But it didn't bother me so much in this game, I guess because once you clear a tile, it stays cleared. So if you have to go back to a dungeon, it's much easier to just walk through it.
Enemies that aren't part of tiles will respawn.
Right.
But there aren't very many of those. Maybe like two a screen.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just walk past, no problem, enemies that respawn.
So Turbo's dead.
Turbo has sadly died.
Turbo has deceased.
So you have to go underground where the moles are.
Right.
And, you know, do something with his bones.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's kind of weird.
You free deer. Crocodile, birds, mm-hmm. moles. Yeah, it's all animals and trees that you talk to.
And most importantly, there's a three-piece performance troupe.
Oh,
in the forest.
The deer, the squirrel, and the bird mm-hmm. that do a dance for you. Mm-hmm.
And turn all into squirrels. Mm-hmm. Pick the one that's really a squirrel and you get a medicinal herb.
Mm. They just give that shit out for free, though, mm-hmm. in the first town. Usually there's some vendor in town.
That gives you medicinal herb for free?
Yep.
That's interesting. There's no currency in this game.
Yeah, there's some excuse for them to give it to you for free.
Mm-hmm.
Like the woman in the first village is like, oh, you freed me. Of course I'm going to give you these leaves for free. Her son tries to charge you $1 billion.
1 billion. Dollars. I think he says dollars.
He's dollars.
I could be mistaken.
$1 billion for goat food. And then his mother is so embarrassed that he'd be so rude to the person mm-hmm. who saved them. She gives you free goat food.
For life.
Which that one goat is just like, hey, you have goat food.
Right.
You give him the goat food. He's like, hey, thanks. I want more goat food. And you can follow him to their house where he goes and stands in front of the kid. When you talk to him, he's like, I want more fucking goat food. The game had good character. Really good character to it.
It's quirky. And you saying that they're just giving herb for free reminds me that I didn't think this game was very grindy. It didn't feel grindy mm-hmm. to me. And I think
did not have to grind. Period.
That is one of the things, I think, the fact that there's no currency in the game is a factor for that. And the fact that it seems like since you're shutting down tiles, the developer could calculate how much experience you are going to get per tile to make sure that you are the correct level you mm-hmm. need to be to fight Death Toll at the end.
Yeah, you'd have to grind out those few enemies that respawn if you wanted to try to gain levels, which...
That'd be a pain in the ass.
I think I beat it at level 24.
Yep, me too.
So yeah.
I think it's designed that way.
It caps out at 50.
Really?
Which is ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
But then you go from the forest to the underwater shrine where the mermaids are.
Yes.
So mermaids and dolphins and angelfish. Angelfish mm-hmm. also being from heaven. They all tell you that they're from heaven.
Yes. From the sky, Tyler.
Oh, from the sky. Yeah. You can't do two. Like the same reason Link got rid of the cross on his shield. You can't have too many Christian overtones.
This isn't a Superman movie. Come on.
I haven't seen Man of Steel yet.
It's a bunch of Christ metaphors. Despite that, it's great, I thought.
Yeah.
A lot of people won't agree with me, but...
My mom doesn't. My mom didn't like it at all. She's seen it and I haven't.
Well, you should call her and tell her, hey, did you notice all the Christ metaphors in the movie?
I'll call. Hey, Mom, would you call in the TED Talk?
Yeah, can we do a live?
The show I talk about but tell you can't listen to. Just call this number and talk about Superman for just a little bit.
Please get your mom in the call. Leave a voicemail about Superman. Please.
God, my mom listened to this. She's like, you did what at church? She's like, I know who that fat girl is, Tyler. So you go through fighting more enemies underwater. Get the bubble armor that allows you to put a bubble around you.
And see, I thought that was interesting, too. You mentioned the bubble armor. Is that new armor doesn't just give you more defense. It gives you a special ability as well. The bubble armor is very useful in this village because it allows you to breathe underwater. It's cool.
You have to unlock mermaid statues that unlock other statues for you to go into like five different parts of the ocean. The ocean level was very, very long.
It was. It felt the longest slow level too. Who was the boss of that one? Was it Poseidon?
Yes.
I have a note about Poseidon. He looked to me like DJ from Roseanne because he has this.
I thought you were going Jazzy Jeff, then you were going straight to DJ.
No, DJ, I mean, clearly the claw boss in level one looked like DJ Jazzy Jeff. But no, Poseidon had this ridiculous bowl cut. That's all I could think about when I was fighting him.
Poor DJ. God, that kid was an awful actor. That's what you get for bringing him in young and then having to stick to the same character. Yeah, you unleash Lou the Dolphin, get his stone, and then you move on.
Lou passes his stone.
Lou passes his stone. You're like, I'm going to take that shit. I'm going to go to the world evil with your fucking stone. And then you go to Dr. Leo's house, which I thought that was a unique level because that's where you get the sword that can break metal because everything inside the house is mechanized.
We keep forgetting the mountain because Gnome the Snail is from the mountain as well. That's true. I think it's because that is the most forgettable of all of the stages. I think it's interesting that you forget it because I keep forgetting it as well.
I think about it, yeah.
Where it's this cavernous village where... I'm just going to say they're gnomes. I think they may actually call them elves.
Gnomes, elves, they look sort of like dwarves. They're just a diminutive race that lives 1 year.
Right.
They appear to be very magical, but they only live 1 year.
And they ride snails and they race them, a la Neverending Story.
That's where you get the mushroom shoes that allows you to walk on ice, because there are a few ice-based puzzles in the mountain. Because you have to free their king.
Right, who is very neutral.
Yep, pretty neutral. He does know the phoenix magic, though.
He's the one who gives you phoenix magic. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like in the end credits, in the epilogue, I guess you'd call it, he's just kind of like, glad you did it.
Thanks, bro. But I feel like magic, until the end, was just kind of an afterthought. You consume gems very quickly, because when you kill an enemy, they leave behind a gem.
Right.
A gem is what fuels your magic spells.
Right. Every time you cast a spell, it uses up a certain amount of gems. Mm-hmm. Unless you get the bell.
That's one thing about all the items in this game that you find. If they're not in a treasure chest, then they're invisible. They're somewhere on the ground. I got stuck for a long time. Finding the emblems was rough because they're mostly just you have to walk over a square and press A.
Right.
And then you'll happen to get one. I was stuck for about 2 hours trying to find the harp string.
Oh, really? Yeah. There really is no indication other than that musician tells you that his friend was in the dungeon. So I went to check the skeletons in the last village and happened to walk over the
because there's no sparkle, you have to get it.
It doesn't magic tab like Chrono Trigger.
Yep. To draw another parallel, it's like trying to find that step in Final Fantasy VI in the underground castle.
Oh, right.
So there's no indication. You just have to walk over, press A, and wait for the thud.
Right.
But
did you collect all of the markers to get the bell?
I did. I didn't even have to use it.
Really? I did.
So.
In the death toll fight.
Yeah. Magic, kind of an afterthought. It's useful, though I only ever use the second spell you get. I thought that was by far the most useful spell.
Light missile?
Yep.
Yeah.
It killed almost any enemy in one or two hits.
Yeah, it would fire four bolts in the cardinal directions, and like you said, it would usually kill an enemy in one hit.
And you have to use it. There's some enemies you can't get to, so you have to use the magic to reach some of them, that being the best one. Like, I enjoyed Rotator.
I missed. That was a spell?
It makes a very fast comet around you, like a force field.
Where the hell was that?
forget where I got rotator. I believe in the mountain. I think there was like a passage.
That may explain why I missed it. Because I tried to go through the mountain village pretty quick because I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Gnome the snail and all, you know.
Yeah, because you have their prison. Like, I don't know why anybody's here. We don't live long enough to have prisoners. So, and then gnomes like it around there. But yeah, you free gnome, get gnome stone, Dr. Leo's house. That's where you start unleashing potted plants, mice, cats.
And you said this is your favorite?
Drawers. That's, village, I enjoy that unquote, level the village. Most. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it too. It reminded me of, I think it's Mickey Mousecapades.
Very much.
Yeah, with all the furniture and stuff.
The furniture moving, kind of a shabby house. You're just trying to make your way through. And then as you start unleashing cats and models of towns. Mm-hmm. And when you go into like the models of towns, you shrink down, you fight toy soldiers.
Beetlejuice
and,
style, like we were talking about.
And there are two of them. You go through those. Then you fight. The boss is a robot.
Yeah, it looks like Hedonism Bot from Futurama.
That's true. Because then you unleash Marie the doll after you beat the robot. Get her stone, and then you go to the castle, which is where the king that started all this lives.
Before we leave Dr. Leo's house, I want to say that there is a mechanic in this game that you use, I think, twice, and it's super annoying, and that is to push an object, you hold R or L, and move in a direction. I only found two things in the entire game that you move.
Yeah, you're right. I know what you're talking about.
That is so frustrating because one of the emblems is behind a Chester drawer that you have to push out of the way. And I actually had to look that one up because I was like, where the hell is emblem H? I think it's H or G. I don't know. And I had to look it up and be like, oh, that mechanic that you used once and the first
to move a tulip village. To get a pass.
Right.
Yeah, you get like a ticket underneath a potted tulip.
So I thought that was bullshit.
Because in town, you can't draw your sword.
Right.
And your sword is the indicator of you doing the crab walk.
Right.
So when you're in a town, when you press the button, it doesn't look any different. Mm-hmm. So and then 99%
you have no idea
of the things in the games
or
can't be pushed.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. It's
so I was annoyed by that. I was off put.
Yeah.
So the castle. Castles.
The castle, you go into the dungeon to start defeating enemies and start replenishing maids, servants, soldiers, bards.
Right.
Restoring the castle. So you go through the dungeon, unleashing...
Because you're trying to free Leo.
Yeah. I didn't expect to free Leo there. I expected Leo to be like the very end of the game, but there's still like another level after the castle.
Right.
So yeah, you save Dr. Leo throughout the course of going through the dungeons and the towers. You free the queen. She gives you a VIP pass.
Right. To the champagne room.
But there's no sex.
Where you again meet Marie the doll.
Just unleash her onto you. You climb the tower, which leads to the airship dock.
Right.
Where all the bad shit goes down. Yeah,
that's where Dr. Leo explodes, killing the queen and soldiers.
He gives you the key, and you climb onto the airship and drive it up. Right. And that's where you fight a Doomguy-style boss.
Pterodactyl.
Which I thought was the most difficult boss in the game.
I found a trick for him pretty early,
which
allowed me to kill him easily.
What was your trick?
Okay, so there's the wheel, right, that controls the ship. Right below that, there's this block that you can stand on because the ship is flying the entire time. So you're having to press up, otherwise you slide to the end of the ship, right? So constantly you're having to press up. So if you stand on this block, though, that's underneath the wheel, you don't have to worry about that. What Doomguy's does is he does two things. He either swoops down from the left or swoops down from the right, or he stays in the center and shoots fireballs at you.
Incredibly damaging fireballs.
Yes.
God, those fireballs do a fuck ton of damage.
But they're pretty easy to dodge. If you watch one fall, as soon as it passes, you can just take a step to the right and you'll be okay.
I could dodge about 50% of the time.
See, that helps a lot. Being able to dodge those helps. But on this block, if he's on the right and he's going to swoop left, what you want to do is stand all the way to the right and he will miss you. And you can take two hits on them for free.
With your long sword.
So what I would do is equip the power bracelet.
Double damage.
And deal double damage on them. So it was pretty...
That lets you deal damage. There's one where you take half damage.
Shield bracelet.
You do one or the other. Which, so I was having to switch between... If he was going to swoop, I would switch to the power one. And then whenever it looked like he was going to do a fireball when he flew to the middle of the screen, I had to switch to the shield bracelet.
Can I just say something?
Kind of clunky.
For about the entirety of the game, shield bracelet or GTFO, right?
Yeah, I played shield bracelet for much all the time.
I mean, it was the same for me. I figured you played the same way.
No, I prefer to play defensively pretty much in all games. So I only switched to the damage like I think I did it on Poseidon and with the pterodactyl. And then at the end, after you beat that boss, you free the king, who then gives you his black stone and sort of apologizes for being such a dick.
Thanks, king.
And he's like, all right, go unlock the world of evil now, which you go to their Aurora Borealis.
And doesn't the king have like a very orcish name? I think his name is Magrid.
Yep, Magrid, two Ds.
Right. I was thinking as I was playing, I was like, well, next time I play a half-orc in a tabletop game, I think I have a name picked out.
Magrid.
The Destroyer. And his faithful companion, Marie. So right, you go into the Aurora.
And you have the six stones glimmer, unleash this space-type dimension that you roam around in and beat demons and phasing flies.
Short level.
Yeah.
Although those phasing beetle things were super annoying. I think those were the hardest regular enemies in the game.
Yeah, you had to watch your positioning because if you were in the right position, they would phase out of the dimension. You couldn't hit them. You had to keep moving until you could find a place where they could.
I just had Area 2 Diablo 3 flashbacks from those fucking bugs in the desert.
Yep.
It's like, at that point, it was weird because I was playing and then I started making comparisons between Soul Blazer and Diablo 3. And I came out at the end saying, you know, Soul Blazer is a much better game than Diablo 3.
Yeah. You and I had a good time until Inferno.
Right.
Then it's like, all right, done with this game. Then when the auction house went online.
Right.
And then Inferno. Nope, done.
No. Soul Blazer time.
Yep.
So then you get through all these beetles. And you finally meet Death Toll.
Yeah, on the way you collect the Soul Sword and Soul Armor.
Right.
And you have to have the Phoenix Spell, which you have to get the Red Hot Stick, the Red Hot Ball, and the Red Hot Mirror.
Yes.
And then the King of the Mountain will summon the Phoenix for you,
which
the Phoenix is the only thing that can hurt Death Toll.
Right.
Whenever you swing your sword, a Phoenix flies out of it. When you summon the Phoenix, that essentially summons Death Toll too, because he's like, oh shit, somebody knows my weakness.
Right.
Oh shit.
Someone knows my weakness. Time to show up, right? time to show up so I can be defeated.
Yep. So each swing takes one gem. I sort up about 1,000 gems, so I didn't have to use the bell.
You did not die, apparently, nearly as much as I did.
Well, I used the strange bottles. The medicinal herb refills your hit points, but only when you die. It gives you, it's like a fairy in Zelda.
Right.
So if I knew I was going to die after
retroactive.
Yeah. Then I would equip the strange bottle, which allows you to keep your gems after you die.
See, that's good. And if I had been smart and played smart, I would have done that as well. But I always forgot that I had the strange bottle until after I was...
You don't find a whole lot of those in the game.
No, I think two or three.
Not very many at all.
Like so you didn't have to use the bell like I did, because the bell allows you to cast spells without gems. Mm-hmm. I wish that I could have bypassed using the bell, because then I could have equipped the shield bracelet, which would have helped a lot. Man, the Death Toll fight took me a long time. Like, I had to find that sweet spot where the lasers that he shoots from scepters won't hit you, and where I had to time it to where I had to destroy all the flames that he shoots out so that he would open his eyes, because you can only hurt him when his eyes are open.
His first form is him in a robe, which is kind of a throwaway fight.
And everyone knows it was, right?
Yeah, if you don't have your shield bracelet, I don't think you might take one bar of damage.
But that's not even his final form.
Not even his final form. And then he transforms into what looks like the skull from Shadowrun. And then that gets large into...
I was thinking that too. Yeah. I'm glad I'm not the only one. It's like,
And then he turns into this demon with two scepters here in a platform in front of him.
Right.
He is
gigantic. Yeah.
I had to die a few times because he throws flame at you. You have to extinguish the flames, and then he opens his eyes.
Right.
That's not the kind of video game logic I'm used to. Mm. So I was running, I was trying to throw the Phoenix at the scepters.
Right.
The scepters, and then you take out the head in the middle.
Destroy right arm, then destroy left arm, and then destroy head.
Yep.
Right?
But nope. Destroy fire, hit his head before he closes his eyes again. Semi-challenging boss fight. I felt like you didn't have as much time with hard having pterodactyl, but I felt like pterodactyl was the hardest.
Death Toll was definitely the hardest for me. When I was fighting him in his second form, I was thinking to myself, this had better be his final form, because if it gets harder than this, I don't think I can finish this game.
At least I had to use my medical herb to beat him.
Yeah, I'd have to go refill it. Each time I died, I'd have to go back to a village to pick up the medicinal herb and then go back to fight him.
Yeah. But overall, a few repetitive things, a few things that were kind of meh, but overall, very positive. Very much enjoyed this game.
Oh, yeah. I agree. And I'm curious about a few things or a few loose ends. Did Death Toll invoke Marriage Rapture in order to destroy the world?
That seems very plausible because it is absorbing all the souls except for a chosen few.
Very Shao Kahn. Yeah. I'm just gonna throw that out there.
The ending is also, spoilers, very City of Angels-esque.
I haven't seen or read City of Angels.
Oh, God. I've fucking seen City of Angels so many times. I don't know why. I don't know why. I've seen it like 8 times. I've never seen any movie, period, as many times as I've seen fucking City of Angels with Nicolas Cage.
That is bizarre.
I know, because it's like other people would like it. Like, I had to see it at the drive-in. Like, I saw like a fucking double showing of it at the drive-in.
Well, that's like Titanic for me, man. I've seen that movie way too many fucking times because it came out at a point in high school where I was in between steady girlfriends. Mm-hmm. And every girl that I went on a date with wanted to see Titanic because it had come out around that time. So I swear to you, I went to Titanic like 4 or 5 times.
Yep.
And I didn't like it the first time.
3 hours? All right. Is it worth Kate Winslet's tits? I don't know. But of course, Titanic came out in theaters the same time as Half-Baked. And that's what I wanted to see so badly.
I don't even remember that being in the theater.
Yeah. Like, it came at the same time. We were all going to go see it. I was so excited. And my mom pulled me aside and was like, Tyler, I'll be disappointed. Please don't see Half-Baked. It's like, Mom, I don't want it. What am I going to see? Like, you see Titanic. And then, of course, I'm like, all right, well, that's got boobs in it, Mom. I don't know. There aren't any boobs in Half-Baked. And I gave her a moment's pause, but she was like, just promise me. Promise me you won't see Half-Baked. Like, fine. So I wanted to go see fucking Titanic. But you better believe your ass, I bought Half-Baked on VHS as soon as it came out. Sea of Angels style, Lisa falls in love with you. Mm-hmm. Lisa's in love with you, but you're an angel. You can't stay. You have to go. You go back. You go home.
Man, that whole love story, it felt so tacked on and ham-fisted to me.
It's Natalie Portman and Thor. It just shoved it in there. It
really is, because you don't really even have a relationship with her when you meet her the first time. Like, there's no rapport or anything. It just seems like it comes out of the blue. She all of a sudden loves you because you were there when her dad blew himself up. It's really bizarre. Like, that's probably a weird
I don't know
if
that doesn't work in real life. I don't know if you're there when a girl's dad blows up. She might fall in love with you. Maybe they know something we don't.
It's half and half, man. She's either going to fall in love with you or blame you for his death.
Mm. But you can make cases for both in this instance. And if, you know, the master calls you back and you leave, and then if you wait to the credits, the master's like, you're still thinking about her. Mm-hmm. You're still, you can't be a pure heavenly being if you're still thinking about a human. You can go back, but you're not going to have your memories. Mm-hmm. So then at the end, you go back. Lisa's happy. You don't know who Lisa is.
Yeah, you've forgotten who she is.
So it's like, we can throw out some City of Angels spoilers here.
What? I haven't seen it, Tyler. Oh, come on.
I'm going to ruin it for you. I'm going to ruin it for you. The whole movie, Nick Cage, he's an angel. He's in love with Meg Ryan. At the very end, he chooses, I'm not going to be an angel anymore. I'm going to be human and be with her. So he does, and then she dies.
I was hoping he died.
No, he's like, they come back and they have sex and she's like giving him food and he's like, oh my God, oranges are so amazing. She's like, I'm going to go into town and get some bread. And she's riding her bike and gets hit by a truck.
And he's like, had sex, doesn't matter.
That's true. He does get to have sex. So Mike, if you want to make any fan art of City of Angels and Soul Blazer,
that'd be nice. Can I also, before we wrap up the Soul Blazer section, one thing I wish this game had was an ability to speed the text up by pushing a button on the controller. Because there were several times where the text is excruciatingly slow. To where it's like, yeah, I get the idea. Let's go back to the dungeon and kill some shit.
Yeah, I got some achievements.
Do you have some achievements?
I do.
I will try to make them up. I'll hope to do a better job than I did last episode. What you got?
Got For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Nice.
And that is Get the Magic Bell.
Nice. For Whom the Death Tolls.
There you go. And I've got Emblazoned Emblemer.
Okay.
Get all the emblems. The two kind of go in sync with each other because you have to find all the emblems and then find the NPC that will give you the bell for the emblems.
Okay. Believe it or not, I've been able to come up with one, Tyler.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear it?
Yep.
It is called Doolittle. And to unlock the Doolittle achievement, you talk to all of the animals in Greenwood Forest.
That's good. I like that. That's good.
So, Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Soul Blazer. I know it sounds like something that James Brown wears to a concert.
That's interesting there.
but it's not. It's a game.
His father's soul.
Mm-hmm.
Plays with jacket.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's good.
You like
it's
it? Good. I'm bringing my A game tonight. If you were to plaster a bunch of hair onto a face to sum up how you feel about this game, what kind of beard would you choose?
One, fiery red Paul Bunyan beard. It's a good beard. It's a good.
It's not a black beard.
Mm-mm. Because the lowest tier blonde mm-hmm. and black, top tier red.
Top tier is red. This is, see, I thought top tier was black.
No, top
okay.
tier is red.
Okay.
Look at my face. Top tier is
okay.
red.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm saying I thought top tier is black.
So Paul Bunyan beard being huge, magnificent, very
mm-hmm.
manly.
Mm-hmm.
Not appropriate for all situations.
How so? Name me a situation in which a Paul Bunyan beard is not appropriate.
An old-timey boxing match. Like the Heineken commercial, you need a handlebar mustache.
Okay. All right. Fair. Let's go to the judges.
Yeah, it's a good beard. Solid beard.
Okay.
It's not my best beard. My best beard isn't actually a beard, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, don't give anything away.
Yeah.
If you were to give this game a pair of eyeglasses, some spectacles, mm-hmm. some would say, what kind do you think you would give it?
I would give this game the seeing stone that allowed John Smith to look in a hat and interpret the tablets that allowed him to write the Book of Mormon.
I don't know how to take that.
So it's...
So do you like this game or not?
It's this magic eyeglass that allows you to see orders from God.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see what you did, but it's not really God.
Right. Sorry, Mormon.
All our Mormon listeners, we probably have...
We just lost Utah.
Yeah. The same amount of Mormon listeners as we have Amish listeners.
All that money we gave to Romney's campaign, just all that goodwill is just gone.
So, Tyler, I don't know why I'm yelling at you.
It's fine. Dig it.
We haven't done a little section called Where Are They Now for quite some time.
Yeah.
And we know what happened to Enix. Square bought Enix, so we're going to skim over that. But the developer of the game, Quintet, Tyler, do you know where they are today?
They were making a lot of games for a while. They made good games, too. I'm going to assume that they just went out of business as opposed to being bought up.
Okay. No one knows the answer to this question, Tyler. No one knows where they are now.
What?
They have gone mysteriously silent, but have not filed bankruptcy. So they're still a functioning company. On paper, at least, but they're the ghost ship of Japanese role-playing games. The last they made contact with the public was on a bulletin board on their official website in 2002, where they said, we're closing the bulletin board down because everyone's asking questions and we don't have answers. They closed the bulletin board down. No one's heard from them since.
Oh, shit.
So I'm hoping that they're working on ActRaiser 3.
That would be nice. That would help Japanese gaming out a lot.
Just come out of the blue.
Fuck yeah, they would.
Of course, they're known, like we said, for ActRaiser, ActRaiser 2, Soul Blazer, Illusion of Gaia, and Terranigma, which I have not played.
I have not either, because I don't believe we, as Americans, could have. So hopefully we will sometime in the future.
I hope so.
The next Retron can do Famicom games. So.
That's right. We got some calls, Tyler.
Yeah, calls. Want to hear some calls from the public? People? Yeah.
Sad Fog, it is Lord Mike of Purdue. Just wanted to let you guys know that Fruitopia has offered me a rival sponsorship to call in every week and ask you and the other fellow Tad Pog listeners a would you rather. So here goes this week's would you rather. Would you rather sweat mayo or have a softball shoved up your rectum? That's it. That's all I got for you. I look forward to the answers. Talk to you guys later.
Okay, first of all, fuck Fruitopia. Mondo for life.
Well, I'm with you. One, I mean, I'm glad they're paying you, Lord Mike, because they couldn't pay me. Fruitopia makes me so sick.
Really?
So sick. I guess I liked it when I was little, and then at one point my system just started rejecting it. Because like body's like, you don't really need corn syrup and gasoline. You don't really need it. It's fine. We're not on board anymore.
Yeah, you do.
I remember the last time I had a Fruitopia, I drank a large one and then went to like the theater in Nashville that has the moving seats.
Oh God, no.
Oh God, I had to leave and just throw up in the hallway. I got so sick. But I have not been able to touch the stuff since.
I'm so thirsty I could drink a Fruitopia.
Said no one ever.
So, Tyler, if you're given the option of sweating mayo, which I assume forever, for the rest of your life, or to have a softball shoved up your rectum.
And just like, people shove bigger stuff up their asses all the time. I've seen video, E-fucked.
Yeah.
We should link in the show notes, but it's there. Show notes.
If anyone's brave, it's spelled with a K.
But like, if you sweat good mayo, and then you can jar it, and you can sell it.
Yep.
So it sounds like, I mean, one, sweating mayo, as per someone who likes to exercise, it would suck unless it could turn into profit.
Yep.
And then it's like that Kids in the Hall skit where they bottle his sweat.
Right.
And it changes the world. Mm-hmm. It makes a utopian society.
I was thinking the same exact thing.
There you go, Dennis Robinson.
Yep. Yeah, it's a really easy question, I think. I think it's, you got to go mayo because I'm thinking the same thing. It's going to be gross, but you probably sell it and you are never going to be shy a condiment when you make a BLT.
But if it's gross sour mayo and just having a softball show up your ass once.
Right.
I ask worse things of my wife. So so I can take a softball once. It's fine.
So what you're saying, either? You want both?
It depends. Both, preferably. Just let me sweat mayo, get you lubed up, just shove a softball up my ass. To quote Patton Oswalt, the human rectum is nightmarishly elastic. Because I saw he wanted a big thing about people stealing jokes from him. So out there, that's Patton Oswalt. That's not us. That's Patton Oswalt. So it depends on, mayo quality.
Mm-hmm.
Bad mayo, softball, good mayo.
Okay. We've got another caller with another question, which I like this.
I like it too. I like it too.
Hey, it's Todd Pog. It's Yuki's cousin calling again. Thanks for answering my question last week. It was interesting to hear what you guys thought about that. I just finished listening to the Shadowrun episode. Good job, guys. My burning question this week is, if you could form a JRPG party or a fictional JRPG using characters, again, from any entertainment universe of your choosing, what five characters would you choose to be in your RPG? Keep in mind, you need to have a balanced party, so you can't go choosing a bunch of warriors or a bunch of magic-using people or that sort of thing. So, drawing again from any entertainment universe, what would be your five people that you would choose for your RPG? Thanks, guys, and I'll be listening.
Gotta love these questions.
That's a good question.
Gotta love these questions. Tyler, would you like to go first?
I will go first.
Name your party, sir.
Okay, first of all, I'm going Final Fantasy IV. With a party of five.
As am I.
Okay. And I'm not pulling any characters from any other JRPG because I've played those. So I'm going to pick characters that I want to play in a video game as characters.
Okay.
I've got my damage dealer, my tank, white mage, black mage, and support.
Naturally.
All right. So I'm going to go first support. I'm going with Matt Coffin from The Wheel of Time. Matt Coffin has extreme luck powers. Like, he never loses unless he wants to, and because losing is the best thing to do. So you get Matt Coffin in there, then you've got better drops from battles, stealing. He's a solid warrior on his own, so Matt Coffin.
Okay.
Two, my black mage, Harry Dresden from the Dresden Files. You don't really know his potential, as he can pull deep from his well of willpower and dish out. He's amazing at evocation, so extraordinary black magic dealer.
Mm-hmm.
And then for healing, and for my white mage, I'm going Wheel of Time again, Nynaeve Almira, who she is revolutionary because she's pretty much the best healer in the world. She develops all sorts of new ways of healing that blow all the other Aes Sedai in the world just out of the water.
Okay.
Nynaeve's amazing. She does stuff that no one's ever been able to do before. So healing, Nynaeve Almira. Damage dealing, Logan Ninefingers. Who Logan is the...
But Wolverine regenerates. He'd have 10 fingers.
That's true.
I don't understand why Logan... 9, that doesn't make sense.
Because Logan is the barbarian character from the First Law trilogy. And him being the barbarian, when he's in his right mind, he's still a very good warrior. Mm-hmm. But when he goes into the equivalent of his rage, he becomes like the chosen of death. He is the great equalizer. Man, woman, child... unrivaled in battle. So he's my damage dealer. And my tank is The Mountain That Rides, Gregor Clegg.
Hey, I know that one.
Yeah.
Hey, there's one. There's one that I know. 20%. Pretty good, huh?
So Gregor Clegg from Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones. And then I've got two alts that it was close.
Okay.
So.
What are they? Lay them on me. Let's see if I know them.
Two-handed Jaime Lannister.
I know that
damage.
One.
And then Brunor Battlehammer from the Dritz books as a tank, being that he's the dwarf.
Okay. He's the off tank.
Yep.
Well, yours and mine are very different. Would you like to hear my party?
I would.
Carl from Family Matters is the tank. Because I think he is able to defuse a lot of situations, and he takes a lot of shit on a regular basis. Plus, he is a cop in a lot of movies and shows.
That's true.
He's got to be good.
Mm-hmm.
So Carl is my tank. I wanted support, so I've got Lisa Simpson. She plays the saxophone. She can be a little emo at times, but she's also really smart. So she can help the party in figuring things out, but also boosting the morale through her music. Mm-hmm. I have Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
The healer.
She is the healer of the group. If you haven't noticed, there's a theme to this party. It's called 1990s. the Hamburglar is in the group. He is a rogue and damage dealer. he gets a +2 to all disabled device checks within 5 minutes of eating a hamburger. And then I've got Raphael, the Ninja Turtle. As a damage dealer.
Okay.
Not my favorite Ninja Turtle, but I think if I gotta pick a damage dealer, it's gotta be Raphael.
I mean, he's rude but crude, so.
Yeah. I mean, what are you gonna do?
That's good. We're at two completely different directions.
There's gonna be a lot of people who like yours, and there's gonna be a lot of people who like mine. The illiterate fuckers like me will probably like mine. But the well-educated, well-read people will probably like yours.
If there's any listeners that are into the Wheel of Time, let me know. Let me know I have family out there, because I'm just talking about the Wheel of Time just all the time on the show.
I just can't commit to reading 80 books, man.
It is. It's for you. 14 books. I listen to them audio, and the audio is over 500 hours.
I
put in a lot of time.
I can't commit to that, man.
Yeah.
Took me 8 years to ask my wife to marry me. I can't read that many books in one series. So thanks for calling. I like these questions. I like it when listeners call with questions like that we can have fun with, or when they just have general video game related stuff to say.
So I feel like we should probably plug an upcoming special episode.
Okay.
And the idea for it right now, since you're talking about the questions and the calls.
Okay. Go for it.
Like, somebody on the Facebook group made a comment of, hey, your wife should host an episode.
Mm-hmm.
So then I responded, hey, Manpog for Meg and Nikki play old games. It was well received, so fuck it, we'll do it. They're down. They're both pretty solid gamers. I wouldn't say they're hardcore gamers, but
I think
they've got gaming
a lot more
experience
than Nikki does.
A requirement for Meg to marry me was she had to beat Final Fantasy VI, Chrono Trigger, Earthbound, Mario RPG. And then she got most of the way. She got halfway through Final Fantasy IV and halfway through Final Fantasy VII.
Which is on Steam now, Final Fantasy VII.
I saw that. So they're going to host an episode. I figured the best way for them to do it was, listeners, call in, ask them questions. We'll ask them about video games, and they can answer you to the best of their ability, which I think will be pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
If you need advice, anything, any questions for them you have about anything.
Do you need advice? Is that what you said?
An advice.
Oh, okay.
if you need to know, like, what drug should I use?
Right.
Call in, ask, they'll tell you.
So in order to do that, the listeners need to call us.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this idea, but when you call in, keep in mind, if you leave a question for Manpog, that we're not going to play it until the Manpog episode.
Correct.
We still want regular questions because we want to feel special too. And in order to do that, Tyler, they can call us at area code 270-883-2555.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Also, first of the month, it's been like 4 weeks since we've made the proclamation, so now it's time to give out the Halo figurine.
It's time to unleash Matt's package on someone?
Matt's package all over someone.
All right. Who's getting Matt's package?
So we looked at all the people who have left written 5-star reviews.
On iTunes. Mm-hmm.
And the winner is Slinger of Arrows.
Slinger of Arrows?
Slinger of Arrows.
If you are listening to this show, contact us somehow on Facebook or you can email dave@tadpog.com or tyler@tadpog.com mm-hmm. and let us know where these figurines need to go to.
Yep. You don't have to pay us. We'll ship it out to you.
That's right.
So I'll post a picture later on the Facebook group of the Halo figurine.
What they won.
So it's not.
Here you go after the fact.
It's like popsicle sticks I've assembled together to look like Master Chief. There you go.
That's priceless, though. That's a Tyler original.
If you want my homemade video game crafting, there you go. Just ask for it.
Matt sent us a whole bunch of other stuff, so we'll have a contest.
It'll change.
Another one here in the future.
And 4 more weeks after this, then we'll give away another one. I'm planning on a Halo figurine. I do have more of those, but we'll change it up, give out something different.
Okay. I like it.
So then I've got more people to thank.
You got people to thank?
I do.
Who you got to thank?
Okay, for Facebook shares, Nicole Nance, Josh Nance, David Galino 2.
That's my cousin. We used to play some Snake Rattle and Roll and Marble Madness and Rampage together.
Is he the one you played Donkey Kong with in the van?
No. Okay. That's Chris. Maybe he'll...
Chris needs to get on board now.
I know.
Superfan Jenis Robinson, ourselves,
mm-hmm.
Lord Micah Perdue, and relatively superfan. We haven't stayed at his house yet. So relative superfan, Matt
I
Parker.
Have before plenty of times, okay. to All be right. fair.
Okay.
Just not while I was a part of Tadpog.
One would say you've always been a part of Tadpog, David. Mm. Yeah.
The maker would say that.
Yeah. And then for tweets, Lord Micah Perdue and Ramon Verdugo Castillo III.
Thank you, everyone.
For reviews,
mm-hmm.
Slinger of Arrows.
The winner of the contest.
Got that in under the buzzer yep. and got chosen.
By random.
Yeah, Dave did a random generated 1 through 34, which is the amount of reviews we had.
Very first 34. Roll, 34. So that's essentially rolling a 20, which I think fits well with iTunes username Slinger of Arrows.
Yep. And then I'll see, I've got Eerily Silent.
Hmm.
I threw out the challenge. Tyler Dunnigan responded. But I haven't heard shit from Josh Edwards yet.
Oh, okay.
Josh Edwards, if you listen to this, next week we're doing Madden 94. And I know you're a sports guy. Fucking call in. Fucking call in so I'm not calling you out. Next, we mention her an awful lot. We do stingers for her.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole Nance has not called in.
Oh, but she shares us every week. You can't give her that much shit.
I can't hear a Facebook share.
Ugh.
She's silent. So Nicole Nance, call in. I think you should call in.
I would also like you to call Nicole, but I think Tyler's kind of blowing this out of proportion.
I'm baiting her. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher so you don't miss the next episode. We will be talking about Madden 94.
Yep, we'll be a quarter of the way through the list.
Mm-hmm. And since Dave and I don't know shit about football, mm-hmm. well, you might know more than I do. I don't. I know nothing.
I doubt it.
I've got a good working knowledge of baseball, basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know shit about football.
I know the rules of football. I know that much.
I don't know the rules about football. There's a quarterback who's generally a white guy, and that's it. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Leave the show a 5-star rating. Write a review. It gets you a free prize.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry, guys. We will be back next week. But in the meantime, if you can't wait for more Tadpog, you can leave us feedback on tadpog.com, which has Facebook comments now, so it's a lot easier. So just leave us some feedback. We want to know how we're doing.
It's good. Everybody's like, no, keep the show notes, Dave. So he was like, all right. We're going to kick it up a notch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The challenge was brought. I like to think that I met it.
It's true. It looks good.
Or you can go to facebook.com/tadpog and leave us feedback there. Our intro song, Tyler, is a song called Moves. By a very nice gentleman, I assume, named Sycamore Drive.
Okay.
And a link to that track can be found on the show notes on tadpog.com. Mm-hmm.
It is Independence Day. Sorry if you guys can hear all the fireworks going off behind us.
Yeah, the fireworks have been going off the entire time, so hopefully you don't hear them. Nikki will probably do a wonderful job of editing them out.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, I need to take a moment and thank one half of Manpog. For editing the shows recently. Thanks, Nikki.
I didn't put her down in the notes, but she always plugs us, Jess at Silk Street Post.
Yes. Thanks, Jess.
Also, you might want to check out my Gastromancer column on Silk Street Post.
Yes. This most recent one is great because it ties in, some of your posts have tied into video games, but this one, tell us about it.
I've been trying to do, it's a geek-related video games, fiction-related mm-hmm. food column. This last time I did Donkey Kong Country.
Nice.
So it was all banana recipes.
I love it.
And I've done Earthbound recipes. I did Duck Hunt, so it was all duck recipes. So I'm probably going to try hitting the video game theme for a while.
But Tyler, I can't cook. Then are there recipes on there for me?
There's a few. I've got it all tiered out. So if you can't cook at all, there are a few apprentice level.
What if someone's really good at cooking?
If you want to do the same stuff I did in culinary school, I've got a Gastromancer level 7-course meal out there if you want to give it a shot.
I feel like we're doing the Dewey Cox thing again.
Yeah. Yep.
So where can they find that?
That is under SookStreetPost.com, mm-hmm. blogs, and then there you'll find Tadpog and the Gastromancers Guild.
Okay, cool. I'll have a link to it in the show notes as well.
So, thanks for supporting me, Dave. I ain't got shit else.
No, you're done? All right.
Done.
That's the show. Unleash Marie.
I don't know why I said unleash.
I am Marie.